The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
You're listening to 89.5 FM, KOPN Columbia, Mid-Missouri's source for in-depth news, diverse talk, and music of the world. It's more than radio, it's community radio on the web at kopn.org. Thought Crime Radio is coming up. The music up. I think we need to say that again.
We are the voices for people who don't count in this economy.
And who is that?
Well, among others, it's babies.
Babies. And weren't we all babies at one time?
No, I never was.
Oh, you were too. I bet you were a very cute baby.
No, I was. That's what I did.
I bet you knew a lot when you were a baby too. Did you talk early?
I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't have a very pleasant childhood, so I don't remember much of that.
Aww.
Poor baby.
So welcome back to Thought Crime Radio today. We have a very exciting guest on with us today.
Fellow rabble-rouser.
Yes, and he's an old friend. Well, he's not. I mean, he's as old as us, but he's an old friend for us because he was on our first show. He helped us start our very wobbly start on our show in August.
He has been getting, he got this stuff a long time ago. He got this probably before we did, and he's been talking about it for a long time.
And his name is Colin Knopf, and he's from the Ontario area. So we're going to bring him on in a few minutes, but I wanted to sort of come up with a couple of dots to connect, because we're always trying to connect the dots, but Colin is the dot connector. he's going to talk today about his book, and he's going to talk about the shock doctrine and what happens to us at birth. We've been trying for weeks and months to help people connect why we're talking about birth and why we're talking about prenatal, why we're talking about circumcision, breastfeeding, soon-to-be cord clamping.
Isolation.
And what does that have to do with the world today?
These are all things, this litany of things that Janelle just mentioned, these are all things that routinely happen to newborn babies at a time when they imprint everything. And the research is in, we know what this does to people. And it's not a good way to start out your life.
So we're going to take this pretty wide today, because we're going to talk about what's going on a big level and how corporations and systems are built upon what happens in obstetrics. And today I was driving around more today, and so I got bits and pieces of some radio shows, and there was a show on this station today, and they were talking about a meeting in London coming up where they're going to be talking about Afghanistan. It's an Afghanistan meeting. Somebody is, not in from the U.S., but I don't think, but somebody is suggesting that they pay the terrorists, the Taliban, to not be a terrorist. And they're not they're talking about the ones who are not, it's not their... They don't believe in terrorism. They're just the ones that are there because of the money, because of the situation.
So basically, it's off to auctioning to the highest bidder, I guess.
Well, we're not looking at how can we create a world and a humanity where we don't have war, where our young men and women are not sent off to war. And I mean, it occurred to me. Because I have a child in both the wars, and that I'm very against, it occurred to me, like, why don't we pay our young men and women to not go into the military? Because so many of them, it's the same thing, so many of them go into the military right now because they wanted the benefits of education, to have a house, to pay for their, to provide for their families.
So they say
one day my, because they didn't sign up to go to war. They signed up to be guardsmen and do a weekend a month.
To protect their communities and, to do public service, to be good, honorable people. But the opportunities that are open to them are highly restricted.
We have to look at why are we creating a society where we need to keep going to war over and over and over.
Really?
And you've mentioned a couple of times in the last few weeks about creating peace. You made a plea to some peacemakers out there to really begin to think and see what we're talking about with creating a human being from the first first 9 months in the womb and the childhood, the birth, the infancy, creating a human being who's built for peace, not for war.
One of the things that we're trying to draw connections to that maybe doesn't occur to people is some of the same factors that cause a country to be warlike and corrupt, as this country is, are some of the same things that lead to drug addiction, violent crime, domestic violence, divorce. Child abuse. There's a whole range of issues, and they all converge at one point.
The taxpayer is upset about.
They all converge at one point.
Converge at one point.
And that point is birth. That is the point where we have the most influence, the most effect, the most, as it turns out, deleterious effect on children, is at the moment of their birth when they are imprinting everything. And what happens to them in just those first few hours can affect them for their entire lives.
It does. It creates the foundation. It creates the template for how we're going to go through life.
Right. And this is recognized in the animal kingdom. I mean, anyone who's paying attention will readily acknowledge that ducks imprint, monkeys imprint, dogs imprint. But somehow this obvious thing is lost on.
But if we admitted it, we would have to look back and see what a big mess we've made, and we'd have to stop doing what we're doing. And for the last three shows, we've had Dr. Fishbein on talking about he's an OB talking about his profession, and he's a very big supporter of gentle and natural birth with midwives, and we've talked to him a lot about all the system things. And then next time we're on, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have James Prescott, who is very well known in circles of attachment and all sorts of things. And I got an email from Colin, and he said he was very excited, very impressed to be sandwiched in between these two great people. And I told Colin that he's the meat, between these between the breads, because he's new on the scene, but he's been researching this forever, and I think he's going to help us connect those two things, like all this obstetrics that we've been talking about.
Obstetrical abuse.
Obstetrical abuse and then get ready to talk to Dr. Prescott about the profound moments of birth and the attachment. But I want to start bringing on Colin here shortly because we have a lot to talk about. And
can we just touch on one thing? What are the benefits of natural birth? Why is it so radically different for the baby to be birthed naturally versus being extracted with forceps and spanked, hanging upside down, and circumcised and cord clamped and carted off to distant places away from their mothers and wrapped in, you know, straight jackets is what they do. They wrap them in a straight jacket and put them in a little box and leave them there for
sensory
hours.
Sensory deprivation.
Yes.
You just said it funny. You asked why is that radically different to be born naturally? Mm-hmm. And the question that we really need to be asking is why are we radically changing nature? And I think Colin will have much to say about that. So I'd like to see if he's ready to tell us. Are you? Hey, Colin.
Are you there?
Yes. Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, we're so happy to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be on such a vital, life-changing show. And after that great introduction, I'm not sure I can hold up my end, but I'll sure try.
Oh, yes, you can.
I have no doubt you can.
You know, you are one of the few people besides Rich and myself and maybe another man that I talk to once in a while out in California who take this all the way to where you take it. And that's why, you know, we're excited to have you today because we want you to help us connect these dots. I'm always trying to connect the dots here. How do we go from birth, talking about birth and obstetrics, to talking about war and creating a different kind of society here in our culture, in our country?
Well, I think it's all about greed. It's not about a conspiracy. It's not about nasty people. It's just about finding a system that makes a lot of money for the people in power and that's what makes it work, and it works very, very well.
And no one questions it. I mean, it makes tons
Nobody
of money.
Nobody seems to.
It makes
well,
tons
Well, you know what
of
I think the problem is, Rich? I think the problem is that we're all so wrapped up in our tight little world that we only see a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. When we look out the window, we're looking out a portal, and we think we're in a lake. But we're in a huge, huge ocean. Everything's connected. But we don't acknowledge that because we're so focused on our research about this and that. We don't see how they all weave together. I guess one of my not blowing my own horn here because I'm just a father like everybody else, but I learned a lot in the process. I learned a little late from my own children. My first was a C-section, the second was an epidural. You know, as parents, we went in with the best of intentions, thinking we knew enough to do this job. And you know what? We do. we took the knowledge from the wrong place.
Yes.
You were talking about war and the economy and the whole ball of wax, and that's the premise of my book. I'm calling it Dystocia by Design, but for those that aren't not into the lexicon of the learned like we use as code to keep everybody in the dark. Dystocia is just another word for very difficult labor. And that's what happens in a hospital.
This is like Munchausen.
Yeah, exactly.
Munchausen syndrome, by proxy, I guess.
Well, the sad part is we have really failed doctors. We have not educated them to the point where they're functional anymore. I don't fault doctors. Doctors are wonderful people. Most of them are well-meaning. There's a small handful. Unfortunately, they elevate to the top, not because they're cream, just because they know how to get there. And they dictate and create protocols and procedures that really help their pension plan. Hmm. And the other ones haven't got the time to really look at what's happening and understand why all the problems are coming to them. They're just so busy dealing with them one at a time that they're not getting the continual education they need. There's no time to read, and anything they get is in snippets. And guess where they get it from? The industry. Every doctor in North America has to take continuing medical education. They call it CME, and It's a requirement of their professions. So the pharmaceutical companies and the medical industry gets on board and says, hey, these guys are tired, they're overworked, and we could help them out. We could give them a golf holiday, we could give them a weekend away, a retreat with their wives, and we have them as a captive audience for 3 hours to tell them about our new drugs, our new genes, our new whatever. And these poor people come away from that as captive audiences with all this new information that they think is vital and important because, well, that's what they were told, and they're trusting people. Like most of us, we're too trusting, I think. We need to to look a little closer.
The system itself has become totally corrupt. That's the problem.
Well, it is. It's really, really, really sad. I mean, in every avenue. And, I mean, Janelle was saying that there was some discussion, like, why do we need an hour dedicated a week to birth? I mean, that's one day in our lives. Big deal. Get over it. Well, you know what? That's the most vital and important day of our life. I guess that's why we celebrate it once a year.
Well, every person in our community, every person in any community listening, you have the potential, if you understand the impact of birth, you have the potential to change your community and to make it what you say you want, what we as a culture, as a community, as a family, as a neighborhood, as a church family, we have the potential, the power to make it what we say we want. If we just get the power of birth.
In a single generation, we can turn this world around. We know how to do it. All we have to do is listen and appreciate the intelligence of our bodies and our evolutionary heritage.
We don't want that. Rich, we don't want that. Because if you're empowered, then you make wise decisions. If you make wise decisions, you don't spend your time at the mall.
Now, how do you say that and say it's not a conspiracy theory?
Well, it's more of a systemic problem, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't require...
It is. I'm looking at an illustration from my book right now, and it says the keystone of the North America economy is our cold, cutting, calculating, industrial medical model of birth. And I believe that really says it all. When we have 98% of our women in North America birthing in a hospital, we have a captive audience that we can control. We take their power away, and as we talked about earlier in Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, the rise of disaster capitalism, which we see in all sorts of facets, it's right there at birth. We take women and we tell them that if they're responsible, intelligent adults, they will birth in a hospital because that's the only safe place to do it. When in fact, the research that we've paid for, us taxpayers, and we've got tons of it to prove it, tells us right, without any exaggeration, you are safer and better off at home with a midwife. Now, that doesn't mean that every birth at home is going to be a perfect birth. Unfortunately, nature is not perfect, but God, it's so much better than we are, and it's so much better than our technocracy that's dictating our health. I mean, we don't have health anymore. We have management of symptoms.
Disease management, yes.
Yeah, we don't have health. And the truth that you were asking, you were being facetious when you said, what's the big deal about natural birth? Well, the big deal about natural birth is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I mean, the sequence of natural birth in a quiet, private, safe place creates increased comfort for the mother, decreased pain. The babies are born smiling, not screaming.
Exactly, and that's the key right there. It's the difference between a happy baby and a traumatized baby.
They self-latch. No need for lactation consultants. Uh-oh, there's a drop in the economy. The early suckling triggers the oxytocin, but we clamp the cord early so we can save that blood and sell it back to you later as stem cells.
Can you believe that? It's unbelievable.
When in actual fact now, and this is new news, or it's fairly new news, we've discovered there's stem cells in breast milk. Well, guess what? There's a good reason for that, because at 9 months, we're not finished. We've got another 9 months of gestation outside of the womb, in our parents' arms, in our mother's arms, next to her breast.
Next to her heart.
That good stuff.
Yes.
To get the colostrum, to get all the antibodies, to get the immune system bolstered and working. But when we take that child and we separate it from mother at birth, put it in, and the actual word is an isolette. or an incubation chamber, or an isolation chamber, or a sensory deprivation chamber.
They call it an isolate. I was not aware of that.
If you stop and even just take a moment and look at the language, like labor and delivery, the woman is laboring and somebody delivers her baby, and then they put the baby in an isolate. You know,
The woman and the baby are both objects manipulated by the industrial economy.
Well, you know, when I first started to look at this and it started to congeal what was going on, I got angry. I was very angry. I had to start relooking at my tone.
How'd that come about?
Well, I thought there was a conspiracy. I thought doctors were evil, and I thought the industry was evil. But you know what? They're a bunch of opportunists, and we all are opportunists. That's part of our survival.
Well, we had Dr.
But when it gets out of hand, it hurts more than it helps.
Well, there's no feedback from the the baby can't speak for itself. It can't defend itself. It can't hire lawyers and fill out legal documents. You know, it's totally at the mercy of the ignorance of the adults, and the adults are not paying attention.
Well, you know, the truth is, our babies in utero are an amazing neural network. They are so brilliant that when they come out of the womb, they know who we are. They recognize our voice. They're familiar with our pheromones, and the family unit should happen, but we get in there with our sticky little fingers covered in latex, and we separate you so that now that poor child is in stress. His cortisol levels have gone up. Mother's cortisol levels have gone up. Well, actually, the truth be known, that doesn't happen until a little later when all the drugs wear off, and then she realizes the baby's not here.
Yeah.
The baby's already realized that, but it's also suffering from the same drugs. And as a result, the two of them are in total stress. Their cortisol levels go up, and that affects our brain. It affects our whole body. And we're starting to realize now with our advanced technology and research, which I think technology is a wonderful thing if we use it to our advantage, but when we use it against the populace to make a profit and a pension plan for the medical industry, that's dead wrong. And when we have all this research and our policymakers and our administrators and our legislators are not taking any interest in it and not bringing it forward, now it's for one of two reasons: total ignorance, or they have an agenda and it's contrary to good health. I'm not so sure what it is. I'd like to believe that we're all good people. We just go astray, and we've got a lot of people going astray, working against the stream.
Well, it seems as though some of this knowledge would just open anyone's mind who became aware of it. And yet, for instance, Prescott's research at the NIH was suppressed. Actually, deliberately
suppressed.
Well, he
was fired for that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was fired because he came forward and
yeah,
told
to
his superiors, this has got to change. I don't know the details of it, but I know that the poor man was not honored as he should have been for his wonderful research and his discoveries.
He should have won a Nobel Prize. Peace Prize.
Well, and it's the same with Fishbein. Dr. Fishbein has spent 3 weeks telling us about his experience as an obstetrician trying to create a healthier system. And they're very ostracized and they're very punished within the community.
It does raise questions of conspiracy, you know. I mean, some of these things just go beyond corruption.
No, Rich, it's not conspiracy. It's just stupidity and cupidity. That's my new word. Cupidity means all-out greed.
Cupidity?
Cupidity, yeah. Cupidity and stupidity.
Well, it has to do with our imprinting when we're... And then we have a collective imprinting.
Well, we don't question anything anymore. We are told... We are intentionally dumbed down in North America. We're told we can't even fix a plugged toilet without bringing in an expert. You know, we can't put a button on anymore. We can't darn a sock because we don't know how. You know what? We don't want you to put on a button. We want you to buy a new shirt. And everybody's making this work for them.
You know,
I don't know what the reasons are, but I know it's not working. I can see that we're going under here. And at the rate we're going, we're going to need more guns to protect yourselves. And we need less guns. We need more harmony, better health, and a lot more happiness. If we birthed naturally, we would not see the violence and we would not see the aggression. violence and aggression are a result of our birthing practices and the psychology that comes from that. The increased cortisol levels, the brain damage. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen the research on rat pups. You take a mother with her rat pups and you remove one carefully and quietly, leaving no scent on the rat pup. You remove it for a period of time, and then you return it. And then when they look at that rat pup a year down the road, and they do an MRI on a brain scan on it, guess what? Its brain has permanently changed. Its instincts are affected, and we're seeing that in our children with ADHD. They're in a survival mode. They're always scanning their environment for new activity, and they can't concentrate on and focus on what we want them to focus on because they're so frightened and so imprinted for the survival that they're scanning all the time. They're moving all the time. They're ready to run if they have to.
Yeah, and James Prescott discovered the same phenomenon in primates, you know, isolating primates from their mothers. He found specific neural pathways and types of sensory deprivation that led to sociopathy and psychosis and hyperactivity.
Yeah, there's that famous video he's got of that poor child in an orphanage.
Orphanage, yeah.
Rocking. And that's what caged animals do. That's what caged humans do.
Yes.
Because they're not getting the sensory input from their social network.
Yes, that arises from a specific type of sensory deprivation. The neural pathway that leads to that is well established. And we are subjecting children to lack of stimulus that can lead directly to that type of behavior.
We knew that 40 years ago. And what have we done about it? We take and we isolate that poor child. So what happens... Now again, I don't really think anybody's actively making all these stupid moves, but they've made them, and the result has worked for them. You take a mother and you separate her from her baby at birth because you've got to take her to an operating room and stitch her up, or she's already in an operating room because they did a C-section, and that first half hour, which we and Prescott and a bunch of people have discovered, and the research shows, if the first 45 minutes after birth, the mother and baby bond together. The breast crawl happens. The perfect latch happens. Breastfeeding happens. The colostrum is ingested. All the antibodies are ingested. And because the birth was natural, the baby's come through the vagina, and it's been now colonized with mother's skin
environment,
bacteria.
Yeah. Ecosystem.
Flora and fauna, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Flora and fauna, and the colostrum is now propagated in the gut with the right flora and fauna. So now the child is able to deal with his environment. He's able to deal with his food. Look at the allergies we have now.
Yes.
You can't bring peanut butter to a school anymore up here in Canada. That's not true. In many schools and many places where children gather socially, you're not allowed to have peanut butter.
Wow.
Because there's so many people going into anaphylactic shock from peanut allergies.
Wow.
And that's because we are filling their gut full of soy, which is full of glutamate, which does also, I mean, it just keeps going. Instead of doing what nature intended. You birth naturally. You birth in a quiet, safe place. Supported by somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who's handed down the information from century to century and generation to generation, and you know, there's no tearing, there's no stitching, there's no incisions. The baby latches perfectly. The oxytocin, then, of course, because of the suckling, happens. The placenta is expelled, and the vascular system constricts, so there's no hemorrhage. We have hemorrhage. We've had hemorrhage for centuries because we've had doctors involved when there's no need. Women are so powerful, so empowered. They're miracle makers. They make milk and they make babies, and they deliver them by themselves without any help in most countries. But in North America, it's a disease that needs to be tended to.
Yes, women are super beings.
They are. And if we only acknowledge that, you know what? it would. I guess the attitude is, if we acknowledge women for who they are and the power they have, it would take something away from us.
Yep.
So, in that,
you know what? It would just build us, the whole society. We would have such a harmonious bunch that we would never send anybody off to war, and we wouldn't need to, because we're thinking we can use diplomacy.
Doesn't this fulfill a similar social function to the witch trials of centuries ago?
Well, that was the midwives. You see, the midwives knew too much. Midwives were the intelligent people in the community. They had received all the information from the crones before, who delivered it from generation to generation. And back in the days when the church ran the world and not politics, because celibacy was such a big part of some religions, there were a lot of unwanted children in the wrong place at the right time. Yep. And the midwives knew what was going on, and they were too powerful. And they maybe stepped out of their bounds a bit and used that power to get more for families. Somebody had to step on them, turn them into witches, put them in the Duncan pond.
That's right. And I need to take a break right now, Colin, and I want to let people know that they're listening to 89.5 FM KOP in Columbia, and we're talking to Colin Knopf.
Knopf,
I'm sorry. And he is the author of the upcoming book, Meddled Maternity, Dystocia by Design, and that's a polemic on the insidious undermining of well-being by medical model of industrialized birth. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, Colin, I was wondering if we could talk more about your book and how...
Sure.
...and pull some of these things together.
I look forward to that.
Okay.
Registration for the Master Naturalist Training Program, March 1st through May 10th, 2010, will be held February 1st at the MU Extension Boone County office. The course is designed for people who want to know more about and become involved in the management and protection of Missouri's natural resources. Chapter President Meredith Donaldson has more information on cost and the registration packet at 443-0104. Registration is limited to the first 30 people.
This program brought to you by listener support and a donation from The Blue Note. Coming to The Blue Note on January 28th, an evening with singer-songwriter and guitarist Keller Williams.
Turn on my radio, follow the formula.
That's Keller Williams coming to The Blue Note January 28th, doors at 7 p.m. More information and tickets at 874-1944 or at thebluenote.com. This program is sponsored in part by Columbia College.
And we're back with Thought Crime Radio. Colin, I've pulled up the... Is it the design cover for your book that you were talking about?
Oh, no, it's just an illustration that kind of takes and digests and simplifies the concept.
Well, I was wishing that I could... that people could see this. I'd like to describe it a little bit because it's very interesting. It looks like I'm going into a tunnel, like a brick concrete tunnel with sections, and one side of the bridge says number one, global profit center, and the other side, the other pillar, says number two, global profit center. And then there are a lot of issues that go up across there.
Well, what you're actually looking at is a arch, and arches are held up by a keystone, which is the top stone. It keeps all the other stones in place. And the two, number one and number two, are the pillars that are supported. And the point being, our number one profit center in the globe is war and war armaments. And the number two profit center of the globe, these are the biggest money makers of all the industries that are out there, is pharmaceuticals, patented medicine.
Medical, yeah.
Yeah. And that is a result. The two of those benefit from the way we handle birth. We are the superpower here, the States and in North America, and our hegemony, you know, and imperialism and all that goes with it, our great marketing boards and our subsidies go out to the world and change it. And it's not changing it for the good. We use that that war machine in all the wrong ways, and we lose a lot of our own and credibility in the process.
We create our own enemies, don't we? I mean, we
certainly do. I was just reading today that every time there's a problem internally, you need to start a war externally to get people's mind off what's going on at home.
Yes, and they're bound and determined to start a major war in the Middle East.
Well, I really think Obama's got a lot more going for him than what we've seen in the past, and I don't think he's going to bow to populism, even though, as I said to Janelle earlier, I could not believe that when he was going to do his State of the Nation address, it conflicted with the premiere version of the TV show Lost, and he got such flack for it that he would actually deem to have his State of the Address, or State of the Union address on that night, that he moved it. And I thought to myself, the poor guy.
Oh my God.
He's really moving off his pedestal.
Sometimes we need you guys from Canada to point out some of the things that we do over here.
I was not aware.
Well,
of
you know what? He gets all my votes because of the last words he said in his inaugural speech, and I don't remember them verbatim. I don't have them in front of me. But basically what he said is, we will move forward and we will have peace and profit when we look after the family unit and nurture children. That's not what he said, but that was the essence of what he said. And when I heard that, I cried. I went, oh, wow, there is hope. There is hope. I think that was the name of his book, wasn't it? The Audacity of Hope or something?
Mm-hmm.
But
I think
even he is not looking in the central place, the keystone of your archway here, the beginning. We all get born.
No, he's not aware of that because his advisors are not aware of it. And the only thing the advisors are aware of are what the lobbyists tell them. The advisors are like our poor doctors taking the continuing medical education. They get all their input from the lobbyists. The lobbyists say, you know what, the avian flu is going to come along and it's going to wipe out our nation and the world, and we need to start stockpiling this Tamiflu. And Donald Rumsfeld and his crew make a pile of money.
Yeah, and these FDA officials that approve these things have huge conflicts of interest. Routinely, they are revolving door bureaucrats.
So you said your first comments when you came on the air were about how this is about greed. So when you look at, the medical system already creates a lot of income because of the way birth is right now, the medical complex. So
a C-section is worth $600 more than a natural birth. And it allows better scheduling, better use of the operating theater. You know, you can hit your tee time by 5 o'clock because you know when it's going to happen.
Yeah,
we're in such a rush to meet budget and to meet all our parameters and agendas that have nothing to do with health.
So much
if
of
we
this.
Looked after our women, our babies, and our health, we would have so much money we could afford to be looking after people.
And,
but right now, they're all on the street.
And how would we do that? How could we?
We have to acknowledge which halted or my mind's gone blank here. Holland has already embraced the fact that home birth is the best possible choice. Mortality rate of a home birth is much reduced over what it is in a hospital. That's not to mention all the complications, and there are so many, that don't show up sometimes till 3 and 4 years down the road and much later in life.
But it seems to me the one of the core issues here is the psychology of the baby. And even in an ideal medical birth where the baby is fit and full of oxygen, and there's still this psychological issue of sensory deprivation and mother deprivation that
for sure.
That
well, see what's happened.
Go ahead.
Look how much breastfeeding has now started to hit the mainstream. It started to enter our consciousness. We're starting to realize that all those formulas, doesn't matter how much iron or how much DHA you put in them, that mimics breast milk. It's never ever going to be breast milk.
It doesn't.
Breast milk dynamic changes every hour.
Breast milk, formula is junk food for babies. I mean, if you look at the ingredients,
it's exactly what it is.
That is, it's just like sending the baby to McDonald's in the most formative years. Sorry.
Well, as I mentioned in our,
yeah,
I think
right.
our first show, back in 1850, we needed women to look after the linen mills in the Industrial Revolution. And they were having babies. And so we had to come up with a solution. And Mr. Nestle, Henry Nestle, in 1854, started throwing corn syrup and cream together and then calling it breast milk.
And I believe cornstarch also.
Yes, yeah. Corn syrup and cream. Now, of course, we're hydrolyzing it and doing all sorts of other things to it and modifying it. And
monosodium glutamate? Probably.
Oh, that's a whole new thing. Yeah. The cytotoxins that we're ingesting,
yeah.
And it's impairing us madly, creating obesity. But you know, again, if we birth normally, the latch would happen, the baby would breastfeed, the mother would bond, all the bricks would stack up, creating a wonderful and a strong foundation for health.
And a strong family is what we need, you know.
Well, we have a 65% divorce rate. You know why? Because we have such discord. When a woman comes out of the hospital, she's in postpartum depression for a good part. Not all women, of course. I'm not generalizing here. I mean, I know that there's some people can go into a hospital and have wonderful births. They do all the time. But if you look at what's happening in our jurisdiction compared to the rest of the world, we're sadly lacking. We have one in three children meet their mom through an opening in her uterus if they can see through the blood. And that impairs a child's psyche. It's got to do something. We know about post-stress disorder, and we're building it in the hospital.
But
when you birth at home in a quiet, safe, supported area, in a place that you're familiar with, your endocrine gland and your endocrine system works beautifully to soften all the ligatures, ripen all the parts, so that everything happens in a coordinated fashion, and that birth is a wonderful birth. The baby, in many cases, comes out smiling, not screaming. And because of the actual hydraulics of a natural birth, you squeeze all of the amniotic fluid out of the lungs, and the child doesn't have to be resuscitated and vacuumed and all the other things we do to them. And the respiratory problems down the road don't become a reality. The one in four children in North America have a rubber grommet stuck in their ears to drain the fluid out of their ears to keep them from getting intense earaches as a result of not having their eustachian tubes properly developed as they grew, because they were on bottles instead of the breast. The breast is a perfect hand-in-glove situation. And when we interrupt that with our technology and our commerce, boy, do we do damage. And the sad part is we don't see it until down the road. Because that mother has not fully bonded with her child the way nature has intended, sure, she loves that child, but she has not got that killer instinct, mother-bear bond. I mean, you could not tear a baby out of the arms of a bear without losing your life. But we leave the hospital with the wrong baby, because we don't even know our baby. We've never smelled it. It comes back smelling of Johnson & Johnson, not our pheromones. Mm-hmm. And it's all washed and scrubbed, and it doesn't recognize mother because the pheromones are gone, and it doesn't recognize the teat, and it has a real problem trying to breastfeed. And as a result, many women give up, and I can't blame them. When my second child was born, I spent hours driving around the city at midnight looking for a pharmacy that was open to get a latex breast protector, because my daughter's poor mother was in pain and agony because she had an epidural. The latch didn't happen the way it was supposed to. When a baby latches by themselves, self-latching, it's perfect. They know exactly what to do, and they do it. They don't get gas, they don't get indigestion, they don't get colic, they don't scream, and because they don't scream, they don't get hit, they don't get beaten, they don't get shaken, and they're happy, healthy people. That bond happens. Mom's now content. Dad can go to work. If she's in postpartum depression, and we keep reading about it in the news, he can't leave the house because he's scared to death. Or he leaves the house because he's scared to death. or he leaves the house because he can't handle it and doesn't come back.
Getting back to the birth trauma issue and divorce, there's another aspect to this that plays right into divorce rates, which is the amputation of male genital tissue, i.e. circumcision.
I can't believe that we do that.
People need to do a Google. They need to Google for Frenar band, F-R-E-N-A-R band. This is what is amputated during a typical American circumcision. And this is virtually the entire erogenous sensory structure of the male genitals.
And what at one time it was like 90% in North America. The good news is we've brightened up, and I think it's around 50% now. But we're still doing it. We're still traumatizing these poor children, and we're also probably hamstringing them for a great connubial bliss. They're having to take Viagra because they're in such stress,
and they're not getting the sensory input that would normally make everything work perfectly.
Yeah, but we have Viagra for that.
No, Viagra is not a sensory enhancer. All it is it redirects the blood flow.
Rich, I'm pulling your leg here.
Yeah.
We have a pill for everything. If you have a shy child, we have a pill for that.
The idea
we have a pill for everything.
Yeah, the idea of sex.
You have a depressed child because they were separated at birth, and then it set up a cycle where
abandoned.
They were separated over and over and over. So you have a high school student who has serious depression. They will put him on.
Who's disenfranchised? Alienated
and people.
He's angry.
What I sort of want to get to in this show too is making that connection with this boy in high school who's having some sort of anxiety attacks, and his parents aren't able to really address it, and the school wants to put him on, and the psychologists want to put him on drugs, or a five-year-old because it's starting earlier and earlier, but. How do we make this connection? And I want to also go back to when you talked about the women went into the mills, because this relates to women losing a vital connection to themselves, where they're no longer able to advocate for their child, they're no longer able to know their child.
Well,
and to be that mama bear that you described.
Well, she can't be that mama bear because we have gutted her, we've physically gutted her. And we've emotionally gutted her.
But we really want people to think about this, make these connections to the behaviors you see on the street, whether it's a 5-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 27-year-old.
A pregnant teenager.
A man who's perpetrating.
Well, let me give you a scenario, Janelle.
Going to war, these all relate to how we treat the human being at birth.
No question about it. Let me give you a scenario.
And you so eloquently told us what is an ideal birth, and I hope people heard that when you were talking, and you were just, it was beautiful, all the things that you were saying about it's positive, the positive things about birth. That's what we need in order to prevent these issues that we struggle with in our society.
Well, again, so many of the people in the medical community are looking through that one little porthole, and they don't see the ocean, they only see the water. And as a result, they don't see how it all links together, and that's the sad part. It all does link together. You either take that first 45 minutes and make a building block of it that is a foundation for health and harmony, or you turn it into a domino that keeps knocking them down, and then we're on the road to ruin. And the good news is we've turned it around. Midwives are in Ontario, we've just hired a whole pile of new midwives. And we're starting to see the value of midwives in hospitals. I would like to see them out of hospitals and either in birthing centers,
home.
We're also urban now. We're always within 5 minutes of a hospital. And the truth is, when you're birthing at home, the chances of a high risk, birth are so, so diminished. And the instance of a happy, healthy outcome, it's pretty well the norm. I mean, yes, there's going to be problems, and yes, there might be an ambulance ride to a hospital. That's when technology works for us.
And I'm a big advocate of if you go to the hospital, then it doesn't mean that you have to disregard this baby, because I'm very strong advocate for the baby, and you can treat a human being, a baby coming, a soul coming into this planet, you can treat that baby gently and kindly, and you can see that it's important that this mother and this baby stay connected. It's important for this being's life. Every aspect of their life will be determined by that.
The problem with that is, once you enter the swinging doors of the hospital, you're going to be labeled a failure to progress. And that's a natural, normal consequence of our survival technique. Our survival technique says, if you are not feeling comfortable, you are not feeling safe, you are not feeling supported, you shouldn't be birthing there. Go somewhere where it's safe. Animals go under the porch in a darkened area. They get away where it's safe in a corner to birth. What do? We put you in a room full of lights, full of people. I don't know if you've seen the wonderful parody, which is unfortunately so factual that it's not funny, but it is funny.
Mm-hmm.
John Cleese in a
movie.
Yeah, the machine that goes ping. Well, that means your baby's still alive. My favorite line in the whole thing is the poor woman there. She's in the lithotomy position, legs up in the stirrups, and she says, "What should I do?" And he looks at her with disgust. "Nothing. You're not qualified."
And then the chief operating officer of the hospital
says, "What are we doing here? We're having a birth. Well, what's that?"
Actually, we'll put that up on our blog, which is thoughtcrimeradio.blogspot.com. But we're getting close to the hour, and I know it goes fast.
Let me give you the scenario.
The last 5 minutes.
We were talking about how this all interconnects. I'm just looking now at this illustration, which is my touch points. When we walk into a room without feeling comfortable, we shut down. And when we shut down, we call that in a hospital failure to progress. So here you've got this new mother who is all excited and pent up and worried and frightened because it's a new experience. She walks into the hospital and she thinks, "I'm going to be doing something that women have been doing for millennium." And all of a sudden she's deemed a failure. Well, what does that do to your psyche? It just ruins you. Mm-hmm. And of course she thinks now, "I'm a victim. I just got to give up and let them do whatever they have to do."
She goes into
and
stress
as a result,
mode.
She's totally disempowered. She doesn't bond with the baby. She's already on a road to postpartum depression in the pathway to the pharmacy. The baby's in isolation. He's suffering his own traumas. And then when they finally get together, that bond never really happened. The glue started to dry before they were together.
Well, I'd like to clarify that they do bond.
They can bond, but it takes a
No, there's some level of bonding, and sometimes it's trauma bonding. People right now will be very upset to hear, like, if they experience that typical hospital birth, like, "I have a good relationship with my child. I bonded with my child."
Oh, you know what?
They do bond, but we are talking about something different when we talk about bonding. And that's, I just wanted to clarify that, and we're going to be talking about that next time.
You know what?
Time.
I'm sorry. I do go off the deep end on that, and I apologize for that, because you know what? Of course, many, many people come out of a hospital. 98% of us come out of a hospital that way.
Yeah.
But the truth is, there are so many underlying factors that underpin our health, and when we're in a hospital, we don't get them. And sure, you come out of the hospital feeling good, but you're still suffering. You can't hold that child because you've got this huge incision. And as a result, that bond is not as tight as it should be. So we walk around for the next 20 years with this little bit of guilt, thinking we didn't succeed. We weren't capable. We were a failure. And it fuels the pharmaceutical industry, fuels the recreational drug industry, all sorts of things. The alcohol that we consume is a great way to ameliorate the feelings of failure.
Yes,
and what is it all about? It's so that we can try to connect with another human being, a love, a significant other. We're all trying to connect.
Which is our mission in life.
And be loved. And be love.
Be love.
That's our mission.
And it's
not them all.
And it's severed, yes, by all of these unnecessary medical interventions that are, as you've said, are for greed.
When we don't get the vital touch, which is so important to our neural development, which then impugns our immune system, which compromises us. We get sick. We become high needs. And the higher needs we are, the harder it is to satisfy us. Now we don't have the bond. We don't have that really tight bond. The child is now colicky. We're feeding it the wrong stuff. We're young. We don't know. And we're upset. We're frustrated.
The baby's communicating.
Oh, of course he is. But we don't know how to deal with it because we're not educated to do that. We don't teach that in the school. We teach more about how to set up an expense account and a credit card and everything else.
But the baby's already been
how to be a parent.
The baby's already been traumatized by the time, you know, this is all happening. You know, when the baby's at home, most of this conditioning has already occurred.
Well, mothers and fathers get to live with what happened to them at the hospital, and they are just sent home with no further regard for what they have to go through, but they're the ones who have to live with the consequences of the disruption.
Some of them are horrendous.
People need to understand that these what we're talking about is not just speculation. This is all grounded in hard scientific research.
We've paid for us taxpayers
yes,
paid for a lot
it's all
of research.
Suppressed.
Why aren't they paying attention to it?
They know that epidurals lead to quadruple the chance of a subsequent opiate or amphetamine addiction in the adult.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you guys because you're getting ready to geared up for another hour. And Colin, I'm going to give you the last minute so that we can leave on a positive note.
What we have to do is respect women for the power they have. They are an amazing, wonderful miracle of nature. They make miracles. They make babies. They make milk. Milk is a dynamic thing that looks after our immune system. It looks after our health. It looks after our neural development. And now we found out it's got stem cells in it, which means it's already building and recuperating any problem that comes up in the next 9 months. And if we honor that, and we honor natural birth, everything else looks after itself. Everything looks after itself. But as soon as we get in there and start toppling dominoes, we have a huge, big mess.
We are heir
to... We're paying for it.
We are heir to millions of years of evolution, and we are throwing it all away in the maternity wards.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Agreed.
Well, we have machines that go ping, eh?
So tell us, as we say goodbye to you, sadly, we'll have you on again sometime. We really appreciate you being on with us. Could you tell us again the name of your book?
It's Meddled Maternity, Dystocia by Design.
And do you have a website yet? Is there a place where people can check you out?
Not at this point. No, not yet.
Colin, can we link this graphic that you sent us, which I did not get initially. There was no attachment on that first message.
No,
can we put
well,
it on our
blog?
Let
me send it to you
again. No, I have it here. I have it now. But can we put this, can we link to it on our blog?
Certainly can.
Cool.
Anyway, thank you so much, and I love your show, and I think we need to have more like it.
Well, we need to have more like you out there. We are so grateful to have you with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Colin Knapp from Ontario, Canada.
Thanks so much.
One baby at a time, or we're going to save this planet.
Absolutely. Right. Bless you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Janelle and Rich for Thought Crime Radio. We will be back in 2 weeks when our guest will be Dr. James Prescott.
A huge pioneer in this whole issue.
Thank you for joining us.